Earth.
Yeah, fucking right, dude. You're a goddamn narc, dude.
I would never.
If I know anybody, you're a narc. You're like, hey, I would never narc on you. And then you just like post tons of stories and tag everybody. Narc.
That's Marshall. Yeah,
you gotta tag the location after you leave the location, right?
Yeah, dude. Everybody knows that.
You're there, then you know, then everyone knows where you're at while you're at dinner.
Dude. Afterward, 16 p.m. Afterward Radio, Germany. I miss Morningwood Radio. I don't know why we rebranded for the stupid bullcrap Here to Party Sports.
Morningwood Radio. No. Here to Party Sports live at the 7 a.m. hour with your host, Hunt the Sheriff. It is the Sheriff Roundup Friday edition. George emailed me, said he's not going to be on. I don't know that he knew that he was going to be on, but the invitation is open. And the other person on the name of the show is Caleb. So welcome, Caleb, back again.
AKA Hog Medallion.
Hey, yeah.
Dude.
I don't know where the name came from, but Hunter told me to change it to it, so I did.
I appreciate Jordan Biscuit showing up. And then we have OCI, which I think is a governing body from Germany, which I like. This dude's clearly trying to drop some notes in here. He's gonna try to sleep with me for sure, dude. Anybody who DMs me and says, "Are you gonna be like at this race this weekend?" That's 100% like you trying to hook up. 90% of the time, it's dudes, and I don't always turn all of them down.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah, dude, it's business. It's business, dude. It's called client acquisition, guys. So
secure the client with whatever means possible.
So out of curiosity, when I see like that sign up there that says explore, like did you go into a store and actually buy that or did a chick do that?
When I first purchased my place back 4 years ago, I was like, I have to do something to make this place not look like a shell. So I just went to like Hobby Lobby and started buying all kinds of stuff. I was like, I just need to put stuff in my place.
Do you know, this is the laundry room where dirty things become resolved.
I don't, but I have a little sign above my kitchen that says, "What the fork?"
I like that. I like that. So the place that I live in now was designed by a gay man, and I didn't put any of the furniture in here. So whenever people come over, they're like,
"You
what's
got some
up,
good
Hunter?
Control.
Why do you have such good taste? You want to tell me something?" And I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" But there's like candles everywhere and everything. Like I catch myself lighting candles all the time. There's probably like $3,000 worth of candles in here that I've been burning to the stubs. And like, if you come to my cabin, like I have a walrus penis. I have a painting of like giraffes and stuff. It's like very clearly I have Latifah. I very clearly have like things that are super out of place, designed by a heterosexual man who's not fully grown up. And then you come here and it's like, who's this other guy who actually lives here?
You just said you bought a walrus penis and that describes you as heterosexual.
Well,
understand that heterosexual men need to keep dick-shaped objects around them at all times to display masculinity and also to make sure that they're staying on the team. Because at this point in time, dude, people are swapping sides all the time now. It's very common in America. You know that.
How much did that walrus penis cost you?
That walrus penis was originally on market for $700, but it was marked down because of some, I guess, someone at a party. Like I'd seen this walrus penis at this shop for like a year and a half. And I kept on like telling people, I'm like, I have to do something substantial for me to spend $700 on some dick. So I was like waiting until I had like done something like, you know, won world championships or something like that. It seemed like the appropriate time to buy a walrus penis that is fossilized. And it had like a really nice lacquer finish and everything. And basically, I guess they hosted a party at the store and someone was really drunk, took the penis off the stand and stirred like one of the alcohol pots with it. Ooh. And it like broke down the lacquer on the outside of it. So it's kind of like a little crusty. It's a little crusty dick. And I ended up getting it at a discounted price. But in my heart, I think it's a dick with some story on it now. It's got a little bit of, you know, it's got some charisma to it, some character. It's been through some things.
Nothing wrong with a little dick that's been through some
things. It does sit on a nice stand. I will say.
It's the number one thing you see when you walk into my house.
Not just laying in the corner.
Yeah, yeah. hilarious story only you could tell. Yeah, listen, I'll be honest with you guys. If and when, it's more of a when, I reached billionaire status, understand that you guys are all fucked, because everything that I have money for is going to be spent on objects that are going to make my life better and your guys' lives questionable. Like, there's a website called poopsenders.com, and I would pay for 7,000 gallons of elephant shit to be dropped off your house. Now, the reality is it is an expense on my behalf, but the other reality is, what are you guys going to, how are you guys going to get rid of all this poo?
I thought long and hard. I did some research on that. You can, it's all anonymous. So if you want to pay with debit card, if you want to pay with credit card, it doesn't matter. It will show up at your person's of choice house. And there was one guy I really wanted to do it to, but the crossover was a little bit to where it's like, he would know that it was me, but I didn't, you know, I wanted to do it, but then I wanted to get so many years or months removed from, you know, dealing with this guy that I wanted to send it. I never did, though.
Now's a chance.
Yeah.
This guy said, I bet a big box of Heineken that Ryan's MM in the background. Do you have a big box of Heineken? Oh, that's that thing in the background is a Heineken box?
No. He's betting me a box of Heineken that, well, it does get moved. Yeah, that's my M&M, and that's my 9 3/4 Harry Potter. Toast to Harry Potter.
I think I should probably go back through time and see how you've been changing your background since we started working together.
That bookshelf is over here, and now it's moved there. Because I saw something like a nice background, and I was like, oh, I should do that.
Yeah. Where's that huge TV that we bought you?
Oh, it's downstairs in the living room. You want to?
I think that's the only nice thing that Kay's ever done for us.
Down there, can you see?
Yeah, I mean, look at the size of that thing.
Do a flip.
Yeah.
Sick. I love that TV, man.
What the hell was I just gonna ask you? It was like important, but I can't remember at all.
Muy importante.
Oh yeah, what's
moves. It moves.
I think your camera's out of focus now. Bring your hand up to the lens and then go back.
My back?
Yeah, I think it's better. So are you wearing a nose bridge right now?
Yeah, I'm on the verge of a cold, so I've been taking a lot of zinc, a lot of Zicam, a lot of vitamin C. And I got some Vicks chest rub, and yeah, I got a nasal bridge. It really does help. I was having some before I ran the marathon, and I went out and bought this. I couldn't breathe at all. It really does open it up. It's not hogwash.
If I was gonna buy a pharmacy, I'd put it right next to your house. Every time I talk to you, you're sick.
I'm sick. Yeah.
Do you ever get sick, Caleb?
Not really. I haven't been sick in a really long time.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Ever since I've been single, I've never been sick again. So I just like sit on top of mountains and I just work with my man mojo, kind of like Austin Powers. And I just continue to amplify the masculinity that I have going on inside of my body, never sharing it ever. And I just keep on cultivating power and I'm never sick anymore.
That's very true. Since I've been single, that's kind of what's happened to me. I haven't been sick since then. But while I was in a relationship, I was always sick.
So you're saying women are witches and they're casting spells on us at all times? Because I've been slowly kind of coming to that conclusion. Exactly. Aisha, we'd love to talk to you about this, being that you're our only female fan.
That shows up answers on the regular. Yeah.
Yeah, Aisha, what's going on? Hunter is healthy when single. Tell us he's playing with the dirty ladies. Listen, I'm not specifically putting this arrow towards any one chick. I'm just saying more so, I can't tell if I'm just in my most optimal state when I'm single.
Stress-free.
Aisha has been kind of quiet in the background. Aisha, we're giving you a platform right now to share whether or not women are witches. I don't know if she put her phone down or something.
Aisha, we need you.
Yeah, Aisha, we want some gosh darn answers. Okay, it's definitely our fault. Thank you. Thank you, Aisha. And we appreciate that. This is a level of honesty. We should probably bring Aisha on the show soon so we could really unpack this thing.
Be a lot of fun.
We have the girls coming on the show on Monday night, and they are basically our only inside scoop to the female psychology. I spent the weekend with them in Florida, and they were a ton of fun. Ton of fun. Very, very helpful. But then any single time things got above this like threshold of like coordination in life, they just unraveled and lost their minds. It's like, you know, when you like give children like Velcro shoes and like that's the level they stay at. And as soon as you give them shoes, they have to tie their own shoes. They lose their shit and they have to like really be taught and held down. And like, yeah, hey, buddy, we're going to get through this. We're going to tie your shoes and we're going to put your pants on. You're not going to poop today. Like that's where they start to unravel when there's that level of responsibility. And like, you know, I'm not saying all women.
Then if they're like you, they have to be regressed a little bit and give light up shoes.
Nothing wrong with that, dude.
I never had the light up shoes. I really wanted the light up shoes. I always
we can buy those. What about soaps, dude? How do you feel about soaps? Do you guys remember those?
Oh yeah, that was eighth grade for me for soaps, dude. And people would grind on the wood benches in the locker room. And I sat down. And I got a splinter in my ass. I had to go to the doctor to get
the wood in your ass. That's cool.
Bar Talk Media is on right now, and they're admitting that they do not know how to tie their shoes.
That's why Velcros are made for you girls.
I'm pretty sure I watched the girls go out at night, and I looked down at Tracy's shoes, and she was wearing the ones that zip up on the side because she doesn't know how to tie her shoes. Now, she's not going to admit that, but if we really went back and we took all the pictures and content that we captured, you're going to notice almost all Velcro and zip-up shoes. Just saying, guys. I've been able to tie my shoes for a really long time.
There's
also,
Crocs are so popular now.
I still wear Crocs all the time.
And Uggs.
I'm going to tell you guys something. The only thing Joe Descent has ever done for me, which is a lot of things, but the thing that he's done for me, which is the greatest, is I didn't know this, and I failed. I should have, like, won, if not been number two. I ended up taking three at my first ever professional Spartan race because my shoe got stuck in the mud and the laces came untied. If you guys tie your shoelaces and pull it this way, you have to now reverse it and pull it the opposite way when you double knot it on the way back, and it creates a locking system that never unties.
There's also I don't know if you noticed the holes in the back of your shoe. Those are called heel lock holes. Like
I do the heel lock for Hokas. Those things, I can't get my heel down unless I tie the shoe like that.
Parker Gregory is saying he got stung by a bee in Texas on his booty.
He would.
There was a point in time at one.
Is there a didgeridoo going on in somebody's background? It sounds like a low hum, a didgeridoo.
There's a leaf blower going on way in the distance. I'm surprised you even hear that.
Well, speak about some of the things you also have going on in your background. Like, have you ever actually used that rolling pin to make anything?
This?
The rolling pin inside of your...
Oh, yeah. I use it all the time. I use it for, like weaponry. Like, it's like if anybody walks in, I hit the shit out of them with it. That's what I use.
But you have to admit, have you ever used it for anything?
I have. Like, I used it.
Wise.
Yes. So when I first moved in, I just, like, during 2020, I got into cooking, like, a lot. Like, I cooked a lot of stuff.
Cooking, and right? Like cocaine?
I think you may be the most eligible bachelor that I know. Because I don't know how to cook. I also don't know how to decorate my own house. You also have like a strong financial balance. You're handsome. Like, I don't understand how you don't have like 10 wives at this point.
I'm over it.
There you go.
That's why.
Yeah. Like, anytime I go into someone's house and I see a rolling pin, I'm always confused because I've never seen any of these people use a rolling pin for anything. Like,
mine's more for self-defense than anything else right now.
I like that. check this out.
To bring his baseball bat out
or the Dirty Harry gun
or I'd love new penis that we haven't seen yet.
Now the whale penis is at penis is at the cabin.
We're just gonna watch him wander around there.
This would be a point for those of you listening later in the show. He's walking around his bedroom, pulling up one side of the mattress. He's gone around to the other side of the bed, and now he's came back.
Well, that's not a good sign, dude. My battle axe is missing. I also have a large, fully loaded gun here.
So, is that the Dirty Harry gun?
Yeah, dude. I have the Dirty Harry pistol, but I also have this battle axe that I won during the GoRuck games.
Yeah.
And yeah, sure, I won a bunch of money too, but it doesn't really sit with me the same way that battle axe does.
It's the cleaning ladies, they stole it.
I wouldn't doubt it, but like, who the fuck would steal my battle axe? It's a kind of a dick move. I also have to pee. I'll be right back, and I have to look at my battle axe one more time.
While he goes away, our podcast is sponsored by Go Brewing. Thank you very much, Joe. It's been awesome. Sober-ish. I'd say sober-ish for me. But like last night, I have it still right here. The Street Cred Nitro. Love it. I just like that there's so many freaking options. There's other non-alcoholic brewing companies, but I feel like I could picture three different colors, and it's like the mainstay, but I don't feel like there's as many options. That's why we have Go Brewing. And then if you'd like to use it, you promo code here to party, all one word, spaced together, no spaces. You get 15% off your order. I've had a dry-ish January. It's definitely helped. And, you know, like last night doing work, I wanted to taste the beer but not be buzzed. So I grabbed me a Street Cred. And I got me some Street Cred. How long? Yeah, sober-ish. Well, sorry, Aisha. Sometimes, you know, you have to... So here's the thing. So I had a test week. And so in my mind, I was justifying, well, it's a test week for like lifting. So it's, you're not really in an official cycle yet. So I still had my chips in the evening and, you know, a couple drinks at night. But now it's dead on Dave and no more drinking. We got Nitro Bold going on. Shout out Go Brewing.
Dude, Hunter, how long did dry January last for you?
I don't want to talk about it. That's not really fair. Like, I would never talk poorly about you guys.
As soon as you what were you throwing? It was Kyle's dog's toy, but you were trying to throw it in a bin. It was hard to see.
They have a child now, and basically they have this like baby swinger, like a swing. Oh. And I was like, let's see who can get the thing inside that. And like just a stupid man competition. This is how simple men are. Like, hey, we could do a bunch of other things, but let's just throw something into a thing. And basically, I lost. I probably had less than 10 drinks this entire month, which I'm proud of, which is a big accomplishment for me. Because in reality, like, I do consume booze every night. Now, I don't consume booze at a rate that, like, would be alarming, but I don't really see alcohol, at least in my way that I'm taking it in, as like a problem. Like 2-3 bottles a night, no big deal. No, I'm just kidding. But I will have a beer with dinner and I'll have a glass of wine. Like, it's nice.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, there's no reason to have the alcohol content. It's the taste. And that's why I've been drinking these things. I actually had to work out for 3 hours on the bike yesterday and I had two of these cans of IPA because I was just like, I'm so sick and tired of drinking Builder. I was like, I'm gonna start drinking beer, and it was nice. And I do really like the flavor.
So what they did say is Joe emailed me, and he goes, the QR code, if you can see that, but the QR code on each one of the cans directs you to the story of like the artist that created the background picture on all of these.
We've been negotiating about getting our own Here to Party Sports can.
Oh, I like
it'd be
that.
Dope. Yeah. Like every time I talk to a brand...
What's the main warehouse is in Naperville, Illinois.
Such a rich
area. It's a suburb.
Aisha, let's be honest. I'm not sick and tired of Builder, but when you're sitting on a bike and you've literally been drinking, I've drank three bottles, eventually you just have to start consuming other stuff. It's what's called palate exhaustion. And I can honestly say I have about 5+ bottles of Builder every single day. Where's your bottle, by the way, Caleb?
I just drank it, but now I'm drinking coffee.
This has got X2 and
still out of place.
Free. Because what's better than one caffeine of coffee? Two caffeines of coffee.
Yeah, I like Barry Swan saying right here. He's been taking pre workout. Our Builder pre, when you get it going, I'm feeling like a tank. I literally was telling Caleb this. So I did our training test. Originally, I started working with this coach the first week of December, so I had to go into his gym, and I had to basically strap myself into this machine, which is almost like a deadlift row kind of machine, where it has like it measures the amount of like torque and power that you're able to produce.
You want me to pull it up?
Yeah, bring it up. Then what you have to do is you basically have to hit a high power mark. You have six pulls, and the highest pull you get out of it is your high pull. My first number was 554. And then after that, you hold 90%. You hold 90% of that for basically as long as you can. And I got 4 minutes. And I was pretty just wrecked by the end of it. And then this time I pulled 571 and I pulled it an average of, so originally I did not 460 for 463 watts for an average of 4 minutes. And then I ended up pulling 520 for an average of 6 minutes. And so I added 50% time and I also added 60 watts of more power. And I can honestly say, dude, I've been ripping. I've been training really hard in a smart way, but then I've also been taking like beta alanine, which is that thing that like buffers off of lactate. And then I've also been taking strength X2. I started that again in December and the results are astounding.
I had to stop taking strength.
You know, what's interesting.
It's so big.
Yeah, it does. It does help a lot. Like I keep on saying this, but I want people to hear it again. You are going to keep on seeing these bigger companies come into the space. And they are going to try to sell you on the products that they're already trying to sell to bodybuilders. And they're going to try to get you to take it and think that that's the product that you need. But products that are designed by bodybuilders are designed to perform for bodybuilders. There's a humongous difference in the ingredients and the dosing that you need to take to really be a hybrid performing athlete. And it makes a difference. It really does. Like, you know, and if you get the right formula, you train the right way, it's just accumulation of time and you end up getting really good results. And I'm always kind of astounded by people's inability to understand what they're taking, but marketing is the best trick on the planet. This is the machine.
And step it up, pull. And step up. Awesome.
Before this we get into it, you know what I think we should do? We should do a, can you hear me? I think we should do a this or that. Is this a sound clip from a porn, or is this Hunter working out?
I guarantee that my race faces. Choke. My race faces are my cum faces. So if we can go through all my race faces, you know exactly what I look like in the bedroom.
I think the most recent video of you cursing constantly would be a good. Is it porn or is it Hunter? Oh fuck!
Ah. Oh, dude. Yeah.
Fuck you, bitch.
It dissolves quickly because it's really simple ingredients, Nick. Like, you don't need to have, like, if you see a pre-workout that has, like, 5 to 10 ingredients in it, it's bullshit. Because what they're doing is they're not giving you enough volume of any one ingredient, and they're trying to get you with all these buzzwords and the idea that you've got a nootropic and you've got a blood flow enhancer and you've got caffeine. In reality, all of them are probably too low to even get the effect you want. So this machine right here will beat the living piss out of you. Like, I feel sick to my stomach. I'm so sore right now. And I'm actually really lucky. Like, I could have kept on going past 6 minutes, but my coach stopped me knowing that I was going to be in such damage. And I have to say, like, Jacques joining my team has been a game changer. I needed someone to wrangle me in a little bit. And he's a good ass dude.
You said you found this guy and you had worked with him like 10 years ago. And then you just cycle back through. You're like, hey, you know, I haven't talked with this coach in a while.
Do you see that machine behind him? That's called a VersaClimber.
They're the best machines ever.
He holds the world record on this thing for the fastest vertical mile.
Really?
A friend of mine who's worked with him, his name's Mark Sisson. He created, you know, I'm sure you guys have seen the Primal Company, like all like the really good like ketchups and things like that. He doesn't use high fructose corn syrup. He does like the paleo version of all of it. He's been the paleo guy. He loved the VersaClimber and he's like, you're a freak. You got to go meet this dude, Jacques, that I know. And, you know, he was a really, really high level. I think he took maybe second at Ironman World Championships 1 year. And then he ended up starting all these businesses and was just a titan. He basically connected me with this guy. And at the time I was so young and I was doing Spartan races and I was also such a broke dick. Like, I couldn't afford to work with him. And I didn't even know the value of what he was presenting. I was too young to really understand it. I kind of got a little pot belly in that picture. It's pretty sad when you're pale as I am, you look fat in the wrong lighting. But I recognized when I was looking at High Rocks that it was just like Tour de France. Like he's a Tour de France, like he's a cycling power performance coach. He just is a power performance coach overall in all sports, but he specialized in endurance sports. And I was like, Hyrox is a mathematic equation. There are 16 opportunities to get faster, 8 runs, 8 stations. There is this, an exact distance of all stations. So it's not like ambiguous, like Spartan racing, where it's like, it's not even a 5K. It could be up to 5 miles. You have no idea if there's going to be a sandbag carry. You have no idea what's going to ahead of you. So it's kind of hard to pinpoint what exactly to go after. Hyrox, there is no question what you're addressing. If you are either going open or pro weight, whatever it is, once you have the weight decided, you have the distance decided, the reps decided, there's no way to hide from the workload. So I was sitting there and I was looking at all these numbers and I was like, hey, I need to do this from a mathematics standpoint. I'm going to contact that guy and I'm going to see what he thinks of it. And within like half a day, he had like a whole equation wrote out for me. And he's like, this is how you get to 50 minutes. And I was like, whoa, I was looking at 52. He goes, no, it's possible to hit 50. And I was like, okay, we're going to do exactly what you say. And we've changed up our training and it's very different. It's very hard because I never trained this intense. Like intensity fucks you up so badly. You don't want to do it anymore. Like I feel sick right now. And that machine you're seeing right there, as I hit the highest point, if you imagine the top of a barbell clean, once it hits your hips, it's technically weightless until you catch it again. This thing right here is a torque band all the way to the top. And at the highest point, the furthest point that the machine will pull, it is then ripping back with me against me at the highest level of force. So it's a totally different experience. And it ends up really, really fighting you in the deceleration, which ends up training the muscular system at a lot more aggressive rate than a barbell would, unless you're really, really training the eccentric phase. So it just has a very, very aggressive way of taxing.
Yeah. So you have not only pulling up the compound movement.
Yeah.
So it's eccentric on the way down too. So you're fighting the weight on the way down.
That pause right there. If you pause me at the bottom of the hole, it is ripping me into the ground and I'm having to fight against it with as much power as right there. Pause at the bottom. Like that machine. That box over there is pulling me into it, trying to kill me. It's like a trash compactor trying to eat me up. And at the bottom, I then have to generate as much force as possible to get away from it again. And it sucks. I mean, look at that position. That also, by the way, is exactly what the position looks like for the sled pull.
Would you say that's pretty similar to a rowing position as well?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very transferable position for all things we're doing.
Do you think if you were to work with this coach 3, 4, 5 years ago, your game and your Hyrox times would be significantly faster? Or do you think it's kind of the best time for him to come along now?
I mean, I think I probably had to do the work and attain the knowledge for a while. But I think, you know, knowing what I do with him now, that we probably would have been in a better place sooner.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it's the accumulation of years allowing me to get to this point. Like someone who's probably watching this video or listening to this podcast is like a 17-year-old, 25-year-old kid and being like, I want to do what Hunter is doing now. And it's like you can't go from a white belt to a black belt. Like you have to go through the stages, the preparation, the moves, the timing, so that you can handle the kick that comes with fighting a black belt. You know what I mean? So like the kickback from this machine is so aggressive that if I was younger and less trained, it would fuck me up really bad.
I feel like you could definitely hurt your back on this if you don't know the right way it pulls down and up for you.
Yeah. This guy right here, OCI, said, just a question on this beautiful Friday. Former triathlete, 169 centimeters, 63 kilos. Should I gain more kilos? If yes, to stay competitive in running. Well, if it's just exclusively running, dude, kilos are not going to improve your running time. They're actually probably going to get in the way of it. If you're a Hyrox athlete, you're 28 kilos lighter than me. Like that's a whole nother human being. Wow. And
he's also a lot shorter. He's about it's between 5'6 and 5'7 is how tall he is.
Yeah. And listen, there's that guy, Eugene, who was in the Elite 15 racing against us in Stockholm. Like he's a small guy and he's in the Elite 15. So it's like Not that it's not that it's not possible, but like obviously if you're going to compete in High Rocks, like you definitely don't have the power capacity to hang with people that are at our level. But what you could do is like do something like our Ultimate Engine, which is like training both at the same time, or you need to go through a very specific strength cycle and then you need to start piling back on endurance. Just a tip. If I'm 80 kilograms, 180 centimeters, 23 years old, and I have a lot of muscle, can't get lighter, should I stay the same weights or try to lose muscle? Whining Spartan. Well,
Spartan.
I mean, dude, I was winning Spartan races at 90 kilos. So weight, once again, like you're going to have to build an engine, dude. You need to do the right work at the right time to make that engine work. Because getting lighter is not going to make your engine better. It's just going to create less stress on your body, which will be a cheap fix in the beginning. But you're never going to be able to beat people if you don't have the oxidative system that's been trained. An oxidative system takes a long time to train up. So
yeah, if you look at most Spartan racers now, they're all really small guys and they're all runners. That's a big reason why I got out of it, is because you just can't keep up with the small guys anymore. I was 220, 230, and I was like, there's no way. They took all the heavy stuff out, the tire flips. And it's just like, there's no point. They lowered the weight of the Herc hoist, the drags, the carries, and I was just like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. That's when I switched over to High Rocks.
Dude, I'm really, really, I'm really excited about this new, like middle of the desert Abu Dhabi race that they have coming up, the 8-hour race.
Tough Mudder one.
Yeah. We're going to do a broadcast for that thing. And it's awesome. It's,
giving out a lot of money.
It's, I know it's crazy. I think it's a humongous mistake.
Oh, wait, like hang on though. VJ was just on a podcast. I forget the guy's name. Maybe Obstacle Course Racing media podcast, and he was going through. He's like, "Yeah, the prize money is a lot, you know, 20 grand." And VJ had kind of corrected him, and he goes, "Well, they've made all of prize payouts this year, dropped it down to 5 grand. Like every race now is 5 grand." He goes, "It's Dude, not I, a big."
I'm going to pause you. You're talking about something entirely.
All right, sorry.
No, don't worry. I could let you continue to talk and
no, it was just
like, but it's not, we're not talking about the same race.
Okay, sorry.
No, don't apologize. We're talking about two different things. This is like completely outside of the bubble of obstacle racing. Yeah, you're gonna have to do some research because we're gonna do a broadcast on this thing. But for some reason, these really rich people in who are financiers somewhere in like Abu Dhabi or Qatar, I don't know. It's one of those places. They're backing like a $400,000 cash prize pool for a Tough Mudder 8-hour Infinity race. Now, here's the reality. The same people that have been coming to Spartan Race for the past 10 years are showing up. So they're not going to attract anybody who has these like star decorated like celebrity status that's going to help increase their business revenue. And these guys who have insanely small followings, no offense, it's just the reality, are going to show up there. They're going to post a couple stories, and then they're going to disappear. And this money is never going to come back to them. I think it's just some person out there who's got too much free time, too much money. And I could, if you guys want to hop on a business call, I can tell you right now, pull the plug on this whole thing because you're not making anything for yourself other than us watching and doing our own broadcast and just getting benefit out of it.
Who would you like to see come out of retirement? So OG Spartan, who would you like to see come out of retirement?
Atkins is going. Albin's going.
Albin's going too?
Yep, Atkins and Albin's going. You know, I think somebody like you've got – and then like the tier below that, you've got Austin Azar. You've got obviously this kid Rylan who's been having like a pretty substantial – he's got a very versatile engine. I don't know if he's got an 8-hour in him. You've got Uncle Kunkel. Like
he's going too.
Uncle Kunkel's going, dude. His testicles are just going to like collect moisture from the desert as he goes. His ball hair will collect it. And
how do you think Hobie would do it in 8-hour?
I don't think Hobie would like do badly, but I think Hobie, if he puts his mind to anything, will do very well.
Yeah.
but you know, it's very hard to compete against somebody like Albin and Atkins. Like, I think Albin technically is the better person in this position, but if it's in the sand, Atkins, just with his, you know, muscular endurance stamina and his grittiness, he'll probably win out.
Didn't Atkins, for the first time in his career, win over in Abu Dhabi World Championships? Mm-hmm. Was that his first win?
Yeah. So I think it's good for him.
Yeah.
Albin, you can never bet against. He's just such a freak.
I haven't seen him race in so long. It's going to be good to see him race again.
You know that he just wins like all of the circuits for, like, he's setting course records, all that kind of stuff for mountain running. He's not in like the 100 miles yet, but he's at like 100K already. He's at 50 to 100K. And then beyond that, there's on the female side, you obviously got Lindsay, you got Chris. Chris is a weapon. Like, those two girls right there are so far above everybody else. Like, it's just going to be the rest of the people just like sucking in dirt and sand for 8 hours and watching those people go make money. But these people are giving away so much cash. Like, other than paying for your ticket to get out there, you're probably, everybody has the opportunity to walk away with anywhere from like $1,000 to $5,000, even at the bottom end of the totem pole.
Yeah. I would like to see someone new step up and compete with Lindsay and Chris, but I just don't think there's anybody else in the field that could do it.
Not even close, dude. I think the 24-hour thing ends up being a little bit of a conversation, because even like really, really talented athletes can just – oh, every single hour becomes a higher level of risk. Like, you remember when Steph Bishop a couple years ago was winning the race and then she fell back and hit her head?
Yeah.
Like, you just – there's unforeseen things that could happen. You could roll an ankle. You could get really bad blisters. You could fall back and hit your head. You could cut your hand open. Every single repetition ends up being a like a higher risk. And technically, usually the people that are going the fastest are doing things in the most aggressive manner. So it's the highest risk. So an 8 hour window, I think, is short enough that Lindsay and Chris will be running, you know, 7 to 8 minute miles in the desert the whole time. And then the men are potentially going to be in like the 6 to 7 minute range the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just probably three guys on the guy side that can hold that pace, and just those two girls. And then I think it's probably on the men's side, like a 30 second gap to the next wave of dudes per mile, if not more. And then the female side, I bet you it's a 2 minute gap. Like, I think the tier two chicks are so behind that they'll just get crushed.
You know if Callie Schweikert's going? Because I know she did WTM this year very well.
She got first.
I think she's
she won it.
No, second.
Chris got first.
She's a star. I think she has done such a good job. But that being said, she's Thomas the Tank Engine. Like, she just can keep on sticking it out and hanging in there. The eight-hour thing, I think, is beyond her pay grade. Like, Nicole Miracle's coming. Like, Nicole Miracle's got the sick top end, but I think anything, her bandwidth past 2.5 hours is like, she's just an injury prone person. That's what I'm saying with these people. Like, I guarantee that she's going to drop off at like the 3 to 4 hour mark. She'll hang in the front and then she'll be gone.
Since she hurt herself, tore ACL, I think it was her ACL, I really haven't heard much else from her.
Like, she won like a OCRWC race recently.
That was a short course, though. It was like a 3K, wasn't it? Or something short. So we haven't seen her run like a beast distance in a very long time.
Yeah.
At least I haven't personally. I don't know if she has or not, but you know, she used to be ahead of the game. But Austin Azar is another good one too. I was very impressed with him at WTM. He was running after every lap, just smiling, just having the grand old time. He came through at 100 miles smiling, just talking up. He's like, yeah, I'm having fun still. I'm like, dude's an animal. What's happening?
Sub 60 High Rocks time, WTM win in the same year. That's a pretty substantial resume.
Yeah. I'm excited for him. He's a good dude.
Chris is going to be an interesting one. Like, we talked to Chris about training, and Chris's whole like racing status is so all over the map. Like, it's hard. It's hard to put weight behind your decisions when you're on such opposite side of the spectrum. Like, there are Bo Jacksons out there that play baseball and play football. But I think that's such a, like, that's a little bit, that's closer than being an 8 hour runner and a high rocks runner.
Yeah. And she's apparently all in for Hyrox. So we'll see.
I could tell anybody right now, if you're all in on Hyrox,
should you like be running all these other races?
Yeah. Like, I guess that would be my point. Like, if I see you doing other things outside of like the occasional, like 5K and 10K, or maybe like a Decafit drop in, you're making a mistake. Because there's people like me who live up in the hills that train far harder than you, train way smarter than you, have more resources than you, that will just bury you when you show up. And like the difference between first and 15th place right now, like David Magida was 15 minutes behind me at World Championships.
Like that's not kind of, I mean, yes, he's 15 minutes, but he also like had a bum back. So I don't know that he was running at his fullest.
We all know that dude's a huge pussy. It was his emotions that stopped him, not his back. But dude, there was other people that were in the same window of time as him within like a not too far away. I only brought him up because he was, I think, dead last. But if we bring up the next person, we look at the results. I bet you they were 10, 12 minutes behind. And like she got away with a lot. I think, you know, we can all say Chris Kreglowski is like an incredible athlete. She is. But, you know, if you're going to be really good at one thing, sit at the poker table, learn your skill, and start climbing up the ladder. Because now that you have people like Megan Jacoby there, like Megan Jacoby was designed in a lab to win this thing. And there's nobody who has a chance in hell against her except for Lauren Weeks when she's on.
No, it's true.
Yeah. Would you guys – do you guys drink protein shakes?
Yeah, I drink protein.
Parker got me hooked up with a company called Axe and Sledge Protein.
Sick.
I drink a thing called VMI Sports. It's really good protein powder.
It's not that I don't like protein powder. I just can't see a reason to not take Mass Gainer instead.
I take Mass Gainer too. So on days when I need high calorie intake, if I'm on a bike for 3 hours or however long, I'll take a Mass Gainer that day because it has high carbs too. But if I don't want high carbs, I take the leaner protein.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Someone was just asking if we're going to make a protein shake.
We need to.
I would like to. I just want everyone to know that the biggest thing with a protein shake when you're starting a business out is weight and size. Like we may even be switching our containers from cylinders to bags because you have to understand everything comes down to shipping and cost and storage for a business. So if you guys want to get nerdy about this, our hydro container is maybe about an extra 50% bigger than this mug, where a protein container is the height of this Voss bottle and it is volumed out to here and it's 2 pounds plus in weight. So what ends up happening is we have to spend money to buy bigger containers. We have to spend money to ship these bigger containers. Yeah. You're seeing it right here.
Your weight.
Ship these bigger containers all over the place. We have to pay even more money to store these things. And then we have to charge even more money to ship them to you guys. So by the end of this thing, we're seeing like 3 cents. And like, I'm not trying to be a dick. Like I just tell you guys right now, like we're not going to create a protein powder that's so much better than the competition that I, as a personal business owner and like a friend to the community, can tell you that our product's more worth our while. I believe wholeheartedly that our hydration product is astoundingly good. It's the best product you're going to get on the market for hydrating and performing in sports like this. Dude, we've even had people do 100 milers that have no cramps. We've had my friend just finished the Appalachian Trail. He took it every single day. It was his godsend. I train with it every single day, and I don't have any issues with cramping or performance, and I stay extremely lean, muscular, and high-performing at a hydration standpoint. That I can get behind, and I can swear to you guys right now, it's worth every fucking scoop.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that to you guys right now with the protein powder. Like, I eventually want to be a provider for you guys and say, hey, listen, since you bought our hydration, you're going to get protein anyways. Ours is high quality enough to add on to your order. But from a standpoint of like selling you guys protein, I'd be lying to you saying that there's something on the market that I've figured out that's better. I will create a Mass Gainer. And it will be God's gift to Earth. But as far as everything else, no.
I'm curious what everyone thinks too, because we were talking about changing up the color of our containers. what does everybody think? Do you like the black containers, or should we go with white, or should we go with like red, know. White, and blue, or like what do you think? And also bags or tubs. I think bags are the better option.
Yeah.
Hey, talking about shipping to different areas, I did some research, and right now on average it costs us about $12 to ship, 12 yeah. to 15. Looking at shipping to Canada, depending on which area that you're going to, from our current shipping company, the average cost for shipping, I don't know that we would charge you guys this, but the average cost is about $20.
Yeah. So it's like one of these kind of things where it's like,
that's just for like the basic order of like a 2 pounds or less is $20 yeah. bucks.
Look at this, bags. Everyone's saying bags. Thanks. Another thing I'll tell you guys, someone said that something about sodium bicarbonate. Like, we interviewed the best rower in the history of rowing, and he said he used to take sodium bicarbonate. I've done the same exact thing. If you're taking the right amount of sodium bicarbonate, which is a lactate buffer, you will likely get very sick and shit your pants. Now, there are companies out right now like Morton that supposedly mix some kind of algae in there that equalize it and make it good, but the cost of the product is so astoundingly high versus the performance that you're going to get. I can't justify it. Beta alanine per scoop, per ingredient, per value is one to is bar none matched by anything. It's the facts. Otherwise, I would be selling it to you guys and I would be taking it. I'm very transparent with our brand. We tell you guys from the honest start, like, this is how we create our product. This is the time I take it. This is why I take it. This is what I get out of it. And I can honestly tell you guys, like, it doesn't get better than what we produce. Otherwise, we produce the better thing for you. So sodium bicarbonate's one of these kind of things where it is an opportunity, but it's almost like gas versus diesel gas. And being that we know somebody on the show owns a diesel truck, diesel gas ends up being this like cruder, dirtier version of getting the job done compared to refined ethanol gasoline. And we found the thing that is more efficient, more costly, more beneficial to get the best opportunity possible. There are different ways to skin the cat and drive the engine forward, but we believe that it's this one, and I wouldn't steer you guys wrong.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, to answer Nick, we use a 3PL company. And speaking of that 3PL company, we just got off a meeting update on Hydro. We just got an update that Hydro is estimated to be done with production and testing a week earlier than expected.
That's good, because I was about to show up with a gun.
Them bitches.
Yeah. So here's OCI. He's saying right here, Morton is really expensive in a triathlon. I was using Morton because it was good for my stomach, but the price is insane, so I just mix everything by myself. See, there you go. Like, I could tell all you guys, you can literally go online and get every single one of our ingredients and separately mix it together. And I've done that for years. Like, if you guys came into my house, I will show you guys inside of our cabinets. The products that I'm producing for you guys, I have been batch testing on my own for nearly a decade. And then all of a sudden I was like, hey, wait a second, I can put this all in one container of convenience and give it to these people per scoop. And it's delicious and it's awesome. You know, it's one of these kind of things where you guys could go online right now to Amazon and buy everything separately, but then you will literally be taking over 30% of your shelf space in your kitchen, and you'll be just pouring powders all over the place. It's whatever you guys want to do. Like, I buy cars from a dealership, or I could just go into my garage and build one. So, you know, I'm not in the position where I'm going to build it. Also, VO2 max on the assault bike for intervals. I wouldn't use the assault bike unless I was hurt. The Concept 2 bike is a better piece of equipment. It's more valuable. It's more translatable. I think the assault bike's cool, but from an athlete standpoint, you don't need it. Yeah, look at this, dude. 4 capsules of sodium bicarbonate is 76 quid. So you would get more than 2 of our containers, and you're only getting 4 containers, 4 servings of that. You can't compete. Nice. You get 2 containers of ours and 60 servings versus 4. And I heard track athletes speak very highly of it. Here's the reality, dude. Like, they're probably getting paid. Probably getting paid to do that.
I've taken it once or twice, and I wasn't a huge fan of it. Yeah. It was like, it's just like anything else.
There's this company out right now. I'm not going to name them, but they're selling ketones. And every single major influencer and athlete's taking it right now. I have trained with almost every top level athlete in every single sport. Like, I've been with higher level athletes you guys can even imagine.
and these are the blue chip names, the ones on all the billboards around the world. And I know what the fuck they eat. I know what the hell they do. And none of them are taking that. Unless there's a check associated with it.
They're getting the bag and then saying, this is the best thing that is helping me with my performance. And
yeah. If I could Thanos right now, I would Thanos about 10 dudes and chicks that I know on the internet right now that every single new product that comes out, they are now promoting it.
They've been promoting it for years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they were literally on a product that literally negating the one that they're promoting right now 6 months earlier. And now they're on this one, and now they're on this one, and now they're on this one. And they're really good at bamboozling everybody. They're just very good with their angles and looking really good and putting their 10,000 shorts on and being like, yeah, guys, do this. That's why I look so fucking good. And then all of a sudden you spend time with them and they're like, you're just a bag of shit. You've got good filters on you. Like, I was just down at Wadapalooza, and every person that I've ever looked up to on the internet, when you meet them in real life, you're like, this is a false prophet.
Every single person.
Not every single one. There were some smoking hot chicks.
Every single one.
You know who my favorite person was? This guy is called Fit to Serve.
Oh, Fit to Serve. Yeah, he got into CrossFit. He's also pickleballer.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He's a really great guy. I've messaged him many times and just said, like, I love your stuff. Now, I'm going to put something down here that's probably going to offend people. There is the Fitfluencer community, and now because of the way that our world's going, because of the way everyone's looking these days, there's the Fatfluencer community. There is literally a new genre of people. Like, if you go into, like, Target, you're looking at most of the billboards in there of, like, heavier set people now. There is a totally different
way
to market and brand this portrayal of the human being. And, like, 5 years ago, that did not exist. But now there's, like, I think Southwest is literally giving heavy set people two seats now just because they're so heavy.
Yeah.
And I guess it's like a marketing ploy. It's a client acquisition. But that's crazy.
My time has come.
And
let's go. I'm going to get two seats all the way over to Manchester.
Dude, I identify as two seats. I need two seats.
This is an interesting thing. Nick Hoyer has been working with us for a long time, and I didn't say any of this to offend anybody, but he said as an ex-morbidly obese person, he hates that. I am not trying to bash anybody. Like, I respect everybody, but I am a little bit saddened by the community that's something that they're trying to normalize rather than, like, encourage
healthy lifestyle.
Like, transformation. It's more
how to get healthy.
Let's market this guy and like benefit off the fact that he looks like this and probably won't get better and sell products to these people because he's a good client acquisition proposition. Yeah. So I guess the thing I want to really talk about, and we've gone way too far, is we are going to Manchester. It's our first company trip over to the UK. We're bringing Caleb, and I guess, is this your first time ever international?
Yeah.
You've never left the country?
No.
No travel with the military?
No.
Are you scared?
I'm not scared at all. I'm actually really excited.
Did Aisha send you a beautiful passport case?
She did not send me a beautiful passport
case. That's right, bitch.
Come on, Aisha.
My girl. All right, dude. No one in my entire life has ever given me anything as thoughtful as her. Sorry. All my ex-girlfriends can eat shit. Aisha's my new girl. Yeah, dude. I think you're going to have a blast. I can really tell you the truth that – my love for the United Kingdom and the surrounding countries is so next level. They're just the coolest, most down-to-earth people. And they love High Rocks. They love fitness. They love drinking afterwards, which is like our lifestyle and culture. Like,
I will
say, work hard, we celebrate harder.
Caleb, when you go to one of those bars and you're standing there next to Hunter, don't order a Coors Light. What do you want? You know, bar is yours. Coors Light. Drink a cider.
A cider?
I love ciders, dude. Yeah. I love ciders.
I drink a cider, but I'll drink anything if it's given to me.
Yeah. A cup of my own pee.
Especially
um, all women have two teeth and will fight you for a week. WKD. What is that? What's a WKD?
Weekend.
For a wicked?
Weekend. Is no. the
sure?
Yeah, weekend.
No, that's not weekend.
That's not weekend, dude.
Sorry, we need to know.
There's actually a lot of pretty girls out in the UK. But you know what's really creepy? These chicks, they're not like they do have a totally different style of staying tan because there's no sun over there. They rub this brown creamer on their body. An Alco Pop. What the fuck's an Alco Pop, dude? Speak proper English, Si. God dang it.
Alcoholic popsicle?
Oh, yeah. I've never heard of that.
I think Si's a little bit younger and he's got all these like shortened terms that we're just.
He's older than us, dude. But they rub this brown stuff all over their body. And if you look at their hands, they wear like mitts when they rub it on to cover themselves. And you look under their hands, it's a super pale underhand and this like brown lacquer. It's like the same stuff that was on my walrus penis. And it's crazy. Like they all have it. And it's really weird. You're like, I don't know how I feel about this.
They've been stirred in an alcoholic drink.
Yeah. Dude. And we're hitting like the guys. This is our tour. London, Manchester. We have our seminar. If you guys are in the UK, you should come to our seminar on Thursday. Then we go from there to Newcastle, Ireland, back to London, 2 days London, then back to the United States. So like we are like nuts, full octane travel.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. I can't wait for Ireland.
Ireland's going to be sick. I promised that I would take Caleb. Listen, I'm just going to be honest, Go Brewing. Like, we respect you guys, but I'm going to have to respectively step out of our relationship for 30 seconds, and we are going to get wicked partied up in Ireland because Caleb deserves it. Caleb's never been to Ireland and never drank a Guinness, and we will drink not a little bit, but all of the bits.
A lot of bit.
I'm going to try to fight Conor McGregor or anybody who looks like Conor McGregor. Like, we
I'm
are
gonna dress
full
up
on.
As Conor McGregor then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like over there is going to look like Conor.
We would go to the South. Usually what we end up doing when we go over there is we reach out to like all the businesses that we've had relationships with to see if they'll want to have like part of our gym tour or anything like that. And I'll say, dude, for the UK, the South is definitely the lazier half of the population. The further you go north in the UK, the harder working, the more like amped up. The South is much like the South in the United States. Like their pace of living and their mindset, they're lazy. No. And if you're from their Marines training, show up any parking lot and let's beat each other up, dude. I'm ready, dude. I am standing by my words. I'm going to Newcastle because we got a new partnership up there. That's something we're going to, you know, we'll probably drop hints to it pretty soon. But I'm pretty pumped. We're going to the Metro Center, I think. Is that what we're doing?
Metro.
Metro. Metro. So, yeah. There's a lot going on. Is there anything specifically you want to do besides get drunk in Dublin?
Get drunk in London?
Duh. Duh.
You sound like
you see British
London.
Boobs. Have you ever seen British boobs before?
I've never seen British boobs.
They're shaped totally differently. So we can do that, dude. We can do that. And then Irish boobs. I have to say the women that I love the most, and I'm not talking about necessarily from a romantic standpoint, but for just their attitude, there's the girls from Manchester and the girls from Ireland are just their term, I guess, would be rapid. They're just like wild, ornery chicks. They're awesome. And they'll like come up and buy you a beer. Like you're drinking pretty slow, pussy.
Ornery, or are you missing an H on the front of that?
No, ornery. They're kind of like they're a little sassy, horny too. I guess like I'm sure everybody over there is horny because there's nothing to do other than exercise or have sex during the winter.
Have babies.
Drinking's included. And I'm not trying to be crass. Like I'm telling you a true cultural perception that I picked up on. It's like the same way if you go to Miami, you're gonna go to the beach and drink around a pool and things like that. Dude, Nick Hoyer says his Irish wife is awesome, dude. So that's exactly what I'm saying, Nick. Like, it's totally different. These chicks are different. I'm actually sick and tired of American chicks. Like, they have this attitude about shit, like, where they're, like, they think that they're more important than they are. Sorry, chicks. Wake up. And then you go over there to Ireland and in the UK, these chicks play ball. Like, they show up like the boys, and they bring contributions to the table rather than a funnel that just goes straight into their stomach. For beer and booze. Yeah, like The chicks over there are fun to hang out with. They've got great attitude towards life. Like, I love it. I truly love their culture. And, like, you'll see it, dude. Like, all my girlfriends over there right now, like, people that I know, they're all making plans for us right now. They're all just pumped. And they're just, like, they're rad. They're like a bro with good looking
Daddy
face.
Hunter, come to town.
That's definitely a German accent. That's solid, though. Solid. You'll see chicks, OCI, when you come to Germany, you will see that the chicks with the hardcore conservative parents, you know, what's interesting is like Germans are known for engineering and they've kind of got a bad connotation through some of the behavior they did in the early 1900s. You know, let's not get back on that kind of stuff. But then they also have this really, really crazy, rambunctious, like sexual ties. Like they're known for you know, the BDSM, like sex nightclub type stuff, like truly their culture is all wrapped up in that stuff. And it's odd that like people are so
in Euro Trip where he goes behind and he's got to remember the safe word. And you know what I'm talking about in Euro Trip? He goes to the sex dungeon.
That's true. And like, I wonder why it's so weird. Every culture's got a little bit of a different kick to it. Thailand, somewhere we need to go.
We need to go to Thailand.
I want to ride elephants, and then whatever else happens, we're not going to talk about
here. Is your friend the Apache helicopter back? Is he done with his tour, and he's back now?
Yeah, dude, and he's got, like, a whole girlfriend, and, like, he's on the way to – he's on his way to being, like, married.
Wow.
OCI, we're not saying your guys are, like, bad people, but you guys know that you guys have a pretty crazy sex culture in Germany. Like I even heard originally when I first started doing work over in Germany, I sat down at the table with this older guy and he was telling me that there's a part of the German culture where there's this town in summertime where all the couples just show up and they're swingers and then they're swingers for a week and then they all go back to their regular lives. And it's like really, really part of the culture. It's not like this like fringe society. It's like 100% just something you start to do at the point. Barry Swan, I once had to strip off naked and get into the Kit Kat club to get into in Berlin. So you had to get naked to get into the club.
What is a Kit Kat club?
I'm assuming the Kit Kat club is probably a sex club.
Sounds like a
Aisha, what is a ping pong show?
Oh, you know what a ping pong show is.
You don't know what a ping pong show is?
Come
on. Maybe. Well, okay. Now that I'm okay, maybe.
Barry Swan, dude, being a total pervert on the show, loving this. Loving this. I think the update shows end up being so much better than we interview guests. We just have way more fun. And guests, like, you know, we're interested in learning about them, but we're more interested in learning about Kit Kat shows. Because this is what humanity is really all about. Like, you can come on Morningwood Radio here to Party Sports and be honest with your friends. We are your guys' friends.
Your best friends.
All right, guys. BFFF. I have to piss like a maniac. Couple things I want to give you guys updates on. If you are in the UK, we would love to spend time with you. We are going to be in Manchester. We're going London, Manchester. If you guys want to learn from the best to be the best version of yourself, we have that seminar going on. You can go to House Training. It's all up there. Starting Monday is the new Ultimate Engine. I made a video about it, talking about some of the new aspects of the training, what I've learned over the past couple of years to give you guys a better experience. I think it's absolutely amazing. I'm very excited to share it. And that starts on Monday, January 22nd. And then last but not least, like, guys, we're really busting our butt cheeks so hard to get you guys the product back. And we are sorry that we mismanaged some of our purchase orders. But, you know, Hydro is coming back within a week and a week or two.
So instead of February 10th, it's going to be there probably like February 2nd, barring that there's no winter storms delaying the transfer of goods.
Yep. Okay.
So start of February as opposed to mid-Feb.
So you guys got like 2 weeks to wait. And then beyond that, X2 is coming back. We also have some really cool stuff that's a top secret. I can't really talk about it right now, but you guys should want to listen. That's coming soon. And then I'm going to go pee. I'll see you guys later. Caleb, I'll talk to you soon. We got to book a lot of tickets, dude.
We do.
See you guys.
All right, brother.
Late.
See ya.